in Genesis chapter 2. We're going to try to, I'm sorry, Genesis chapter 3, and go into the Word of God for just a few minutes today. The Bible said in Genesis chapter 3, and verse 1, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow, and thy conception in sorrow. Thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. Thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return." That's reading corrected and read 19 verses out of Genesis chapter 3. I want to just look at this for a few minutes today and look at and ask a question here that is found in verses 9. The Lord God called unto Adam and said to him, "Where art thou? Where art thou?" That's upon my heart today. Simply that question, where are you today in the sight of God? Where are you in the midst of the troubles and things that's going on in our land today? In the midst of the problems that has arisen to our great country today? Where are you today in your spiritual life? Where are you before God? I want you to notice, first of all, the subtle servant is found here in these verses. Now, the Bible said the serpent, verse 1, was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Yet God said. So there's the subtle servant. He's cunning. The Bible said he was more cunning than any beast of the field. He was cunning, and he began to question the Lord and get Eve to question God. And so the subtle servant is still around today. Where are you in view of the fact that the serpent is testing and trying to deceive you today in view of the things that's taking place? Where are you this day? Where are you before God? Where are you spiritually? Have you put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? And so the Bible said he became his subtle, his cunning. And then we find, notice, first of of all his communication, he said to the woman. Now, the devil will speak to those that he wants to get out of God's will and away from the Lord. He certainly will. The Bible said, of course, his purpose is found in his communication. He began to question God. He began to question God. "Ye shall not surely die," the serpent said unto the woman. Well, that's not true. The Bible said God told him and told her that she would die if they eat the fruit of the tree. So there's the question, the communication that Satan brings across to those that he's interested in today. And may I say today, he's interested in you. He's interested in your situation. And today he wants you to have questions in your life about the Lord. He wants you to have the questions in your life about the Word of God. And of course, this is questioning the Word of God. It's questioning the Word of God, because he was questioning what God had told her and told Adam before that day. And so there was a questioning of the Lord's will. Then we found the confusion. The confusion is found in verses 5. The Bible said, For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. There we found the confusion. I began to be confused about what the Lord had said unto her, began to be confused about what God had said to her husband Adam. And so there's the confusion. He's always so in confusion, have to get the spiritual condition of those today being interested in him. And so there is the confusion that's brought along by Satan. The devil's always bringing confusion by questioning of the Word of God. Let me tell you this. It may be in a book we've got before us today. This is the Bible. It is the divine Word of God. But I'm telling you, when God says something, it's God's Word. And God was saying to them, "You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree lest you die." That was God saying it, and that was God's Word. And so there we found the confusion was planted there. And the confusion, did God lie to us? Did God not tell us the truth? Well, he told a part truth, and that's what the devil does. He tells a part truth. And of course, the Bible said, the confusion was planted in their hearts and lives today, just as much as it is up to you today. The confusion that's arising, the spiritual conditions of your life today. Well, how do you get rid of the confusion in the spiritual condition of our lives? You just simply look to the Word of God. What did God say? What does God say in His book? What does God say? What did God say to Eve and to Adam? Just simply look and see what God said. God's word don't have to be added to nor taken away from to make it truth. God's word is truth. If God said it, it's true. Amen. And so there we found the confusion was planted in the mind of Eve. And then so she began to work on her husband. But notice this, the seduced woman is found there in verses 6. The Bible said, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that was pleasant to the eye, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof to eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. She is seduced by Satan. That's his job today. That's his job, is to seduce those that needs to get saved by God's grace, those that are saved and that needs to live for the Lord. God's always got somebody rising up to sow confusion among the individuals of our land today. And so there we found the seduced woman. She was seduced by Satan. And the weaker vessel was seduced by Satan. And thereby Adam became contaminated because of his seduction also by her. And of course, and then he partook of the fruit thereof also. What is it? Where are you today? Have you been seduced? Have you been questioning the Lord? Have you been questioning the Word of God? Are you simply taking what God said in His book today? Are you simply taking what God said in His preached word to you today? And brother, I know that it's God talking to you, and that you need that direction in your life today. And then we found the seeking God is found here in verses 8. The seeking God. And that God came walking in the cool of the day. Well, Adam and Eve had it made in those days, and back then they just ate of the fruit of the garden. there at the Garden of Eden, and every day God would come down the cool of the day and fellowship with them and talk with them. And I tell you, they was enjoying having the blessings of the Holy God. And then today, so there's the blessings that God was giving the seeking God. And well, in verses 8, the Bible said, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord and God amongst the trees of the garden. And they hid themselves. And why did they do that? The perfect plan that God had made for mankind, and my friend, was being enjoyed by God himself. It was also being enjoyed by Adam and Eve. And every day, looking forward to the time that God would come down and fellowship with them. And of course, God was looking forward to that every day, to come down and fellowship with his creation. And there among the garden with Adam and Eve. And so the seeking God, his perfect plan had been disrupted. The perfect plan that God had made, whereby God would fellowship with his creation. The perfect plan had been disrupted. And his perfect place had been defiled. The perfect place that God had made had been defiled. And by Adam and Eve. And listen, my friend, and the first thing they did was exactly what we do. And we've got something in our lives that God wants to get out of our lives, or something we've done that we're ashamed of, and we have tried to hide from God. And you know, it's sort of funny in a way to imagine that man could hide from God. And you can't hide from the Lord. And you've got something today in your life. You've got things in your life today that God's brought the attention and your attention to, in the situation even that we're in today in America. This situation could bring some things to your attention that you need to deal with in your life today. And so there was a hiding from God. You can't hide from the Lord. He knows everything. He knows everything. And everything that God had made, he was familiar with. And then we found the fear that was implanted in their hearts because of their fall from the state that God had made them in. In verse 10, and the Bible said, and he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, Adam said, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And there the fear was implanted in the hearts of that creation that God had made. And when sin came in, fear came in. And before that sin came in, there was no fear, only fellowship and respect for God, and because he had made them, and he was enjoying that fellowship. And I want to tell you, friend, when sin comes in our lives, and there's a broken fellowship with God, and there's a relationship that's broken, of course, with a sinner, and the fellowship broken with the saints of God. And so there was a fear was implanted in that heart, afraid to face God, afraid to face God. And there's many out there today, you're even afraid to go to church, and because you're afraid you'll hear the word of God preached to you, and God will deal with your heart because of sin that's in your life. Well, there's the perfect place defiled, and the hiding from God, the fear implanted in the hearts of those, and then the shame was induced into those lives. They was ashamed. They was naked, and they was ashamed of it, and because sin had entered in and crept in. And my friend, they'd fell from the state. They died a spiritual death that day, and the Bible tells us, of course, that Jesus came to give life. The Satan gave death, but Jesus gives life. That's the reason Jesus said, you must be born again. And there's got to be something taking place. And so there's the seeking God, and the God that's seeking a sinful man. He's looking for us today. He's looking for you today. He wants to know if you have got sin in your life today. He wants you to have to deal with that sin. And listen, my friend, and when you get in fellowship with God, and you get saved by the grace of God, it makes it so much easier to deal with the situation that's in the world today, that's in our lives today, a thing just taking place in America right now, my friend. And you need the Lord in your life today. You need God in your life. You need to have the fear of God in your hearts and lives. And so there's the seeking God. He's looking for you. Where are you today? Where are you today in your spirit? spiritual condition before the Lord? Are you saved, my friend, and you washed in the blood of Jesus Christ? And if you are saved, where are you in the will of God in your life? Where are you in your fellowship with God? Where are you in relationship to the church that Jesus Christ died for and gave himself for? Where are you today? And so the seeking God is looking for those that needs to come to him and need something from him. And so they're the same. Now notice number 4. We found the question in God. The question in God. The Bible said in verse 11, "And he said, who told thee that thou was naked?" And God was asking a question. And you notice that lots of times in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, he asks a question. And the question had a purpose. Because listen, I'm going to tell you, God knows everything. God knew exactly why they hid themselves. He knew exactly where they were. He knew exactly what was wrong in their life. But the question was designed to get Adam and Eve to look at themselves and see where they were before God. Amen. And so there's the question in God. Who told thee that thou was naked? Well, that came because of Satan, amen, and the shame that we came, and that fallen state that they were in. And my friend, that shame that came in that place upon their lives, the shame that their approach, and that fear that was implanted in their hearts because God was looking for them, and they knew exactly where they were. Let me tell you this today. He loved Adam and Eve. And just in, even though they had sinned, even though they had followed the serpent, God still loved them. And we're going to find in the rest of this chapter that God provided for them a redemption and a way to get free from the fear and from the things of this world today that's in our lives that sin has implanted in our hearts today. There's the seeking God. Had the question in God. Who told thee that thou was naked? Who told thee? Now God knew exactly who told them. He knew exactly where all this came from. And then he asked another question. And down in verse 13, he said, "And the Lord God said to the woman, who is this that thou hast done? What is this that thou hast done? What have you done?" And what have you done? God was asking a question, not that he did not know what she had done, but wanted her to know what she had done to herself. It wasn't God's fault. It was a woman's fault and Satan's fault. Amen. And so their Bible said, "What have you done?" And so God was asking the question. And God's always asking questions to get you to see your need today. He asks us questions to see that we might examine ourselves, examine our heart, examine our thoughts and our mind, and whether to keep ourselves right with God. There is the question in God. God will ask you a question today. And let me ask you this question today. Where are you? Hey, where are you in the will of God? Where are you in relationship to your church? Where are you in your spiritual life today? Where are you in your relationship to God? Are you a born again child of God, washed in the blood, saved by grace? And my friend, where are you today in your spiritual life? And so there's a question in God. Then we find the merciful God's found here. Oh yeah, there's a merciful God. Thank God, I'm glad. Hallelujah. And there's a merciful God. Listen, mercy was shown in the garden. Praise God for that. And I'm telling you, brother, God's a merciful God. And don't you try to blame God because of things that's happened in your life. But it's not God's fault that we got away from Him and walked away from Him and gotten in a lost condition today. And of course, gotten in a backslid condition. It's not God's fault. Things happen in our lives, and my friend, not to hurt us, but to draw us to God. And that's exactly what God was doing. He was going to show them His mercy that day. So where are you this morning? Where are you today? Where are you tonight? Where are you in the sight of God? And so we find the merciful God. And look in verse 15. In verse 15, the Bible said, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. He was speaking to Satan here. Amen. He was talking to the serpent and the booger man and mouthing the devil, one we don't like to see and don't have to have in our lives today. And that old serpent, which is the devil, and because of him, we're in the day, our relationship with God, am I finished in question because of what Satan has done in the lives of those today. And so there's a merciful God. First of all, we find he's got a plan. Oh yeah, God's got a plan. Praise God. God's got a plan. Praise God. Look, in verse 15, he said, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman." Boy, that's saying a whole lot in that verse right there. Just those words, that enmity. What is that enmity? The Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to give you a Redeemer. It's what God was saying. I'm going to put somebody between me and you. And that somebody is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. The enmity that God was going to use to give redemption to a sinful world. Thank God for that plan. Oh, a Redeemer. A Redeemer. Well, you say, how can we know that was so? And I tell you what was exercised here in this chapter, of course, today. Faith was exercised. Faith was exercised by Adam and Eve here. Because they accepted what God provided to take care of their sins. They accepted that and they accepted it by faith. This had never happened before. This was something never heard of before, but this is something that God provided, and they believed God when God said, "I'll put enmity between thee and the woman." Amen. And so God, they believed that. You say, how do you know they believed that? Because they accepted the fig leaves. The leaves that was put at the fig leaves to cover their nakedness. God made them a covering. Of course, and then of course we know that God shed the blood also. And there is the, of course, and there was the, happening looking forward to Calvary. And brother, when Jesus walked up Golgotha's hill, he's at enmity between Satan and the woman. He's the one whereby we receive salvation. And today, if you ever get some help from God, you'll have to go through Jesus. And my friend, a God that don't have a son named Jesus is not a God you can trust, but a God that you can trust is a God that's got a son named Jesus that died for the sins of this sinful world today. Amen. So God's got a plan. God's got a plan. The Bible said faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There we find personified in Genesis, is also in Ephesians. Thank God, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so they believed God. That's how they got to deal with the situation. When they're questioning God, brought to their face the realization of what they had done, that God already knew that they had done, that got them to recognize the sin that was in their life. God already knows about the sin. He wanted them to know about it. And we've got to have the recognition of sin in our life before we can ever deal with it. We're just sinful men. We're just sinful people. But naturally, we just try to hide things from God. Isn't it foolish to try to hide something from God when he sees everything? He knows everything. And he hears everything. I tell you, God's everywhere all at once. And God's well aware of what's going on. And so today, where are you in the sight of God? Where are you? Where are you? Now, what could they do? Well, they could do two things. They could either accept it or reject it. They could either accept it or reject it. What God had told them would come, that enmity between them and the woman, what God told a certain, Satan was going to come, and he said, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And so Satan bruised his heel, my friend, but Jesus bruised the head of Satan on the cross of Calvary and provided redemption for sinful man. And Adam and Eve was looking forward to that redemption. Amen. We look back to it today. We believe it by faith because we weren't around when it took place. They weren't around when it took place, but they look forward to the cross. And we look backward to the cross. And God began forming a plan. And not that he already had it in his mind and heart. This is a plan. He began to formulate the plan and put it in action, that God already knew what he was going to do. The foreknowledge of God, he knew. Exactly. He knew they was going to sin. But you see, when Adam and Eve accepted that, and then they, of course, conceived and brought forth two sons, and Cain and Abel, and you'll find in those sons, you find personified at two things. You find rejection and acceptance. Cain slew Abel because he rejected the blood that God had shed, the innocent substitute, to make the skulls, the skins, to cover them. Blood had been shed. And he accepted that. Cain refused to accept it. Abel accepted that. And so because of that, there's two brothers. There's two brothers that was born into this world. And I come before the great God of heaven. God had provided his parents with a plan of redemption. And the blood had to be shed. And there had to be acceptance. There had to be faith. You have to believe what God said about it. And no doubt they set their children down. And they told Cain. And they told Abel what God had done, what they had done, and what God had provided for them. And so they came up. And I don't know all about those children. You don't either. But I tell you one thing we do know. One accepted the plan and one rejected the plan. And so Cain slew Abel when he got wroth at him because that God accepted his sacrifice. And Cain did what a lot of folks today in religion are doing. They're bringing the works of their hands and asking God for it to accept that. Well, look what I've done. Look what we have done. God don't accept that. It's accepted what Jesus has already done. He paid the sin debt. He made it possible that we might have the life that we have today. And so there's the sin debt. And so you find there's the children's choice. And what we do today, listen, what we're doing today with what's taking place in America, it is going to affect our children's lives and our grandchildren's lives. Are we going to listen to God in the midst of this? Is not God telling us that we need Him today? Is not God trying to do something to us today? God is always allowed things to take place to get our attention upon God again. Amen. The world wars we had. Folks got praying in the woods and praying in all kind of places and crowding out the churches and everything when the wars were taking place. And they got the fear of God upon them. They began to talk to the God of heaven. Brother, when something happens in our land today whereby that things are taking place we have no control over, and we can only go so far with what we can do. The rest of it's up to God. But I reminded you of one verse. Where are you today? Where art thou in the sight of God? What's your spiritual condition in view of the things that's taking place in your life today? Where are you today? Am I fitting your spiritual condition? Where are you at today in your spiritual life? Where are you in relation to the church that you're supposed to be at and you're not at Sunday after Sunday? Where are you today? You need to be in the house of God. Amen. You need to be in the house of God. And all the relationship between you and where are you today? Throw that at children's choice. Children made the choice. Abel brought that offering before and presented it before God. God accepted that. The blood. Always accept the blood. The blood of an innocent substitute. And then Cain brought his things out of the fruit of the field. The works of his hands, and later that boy, it was beautiful. It looked real good. I mean, it was good to eat. It was good to look upon. I mean, they could say, boy, you really made a good crop today. You made a real good crop this year. But God didn't recognize that as redemption. And what took redemption was the blood of an innocent substitute, and Abel brought the blood upon the altar, and God accepted that. The only thing God's going to accept today is faith in His blood. You need faith in His blood. That's the problem today. Folks just don't believe God. But the Bible plainly tells us, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin and will heal their land. Amen. We need a recognition, first of all, of sin today. Where are you in relationship to sin?